Well, everybody gets quiet because I'm on the speakers now, right? Well, you guys were all hoping and praying for Kyle, and you got stuck with me. Sorry about that. Something about he wanted to take his family on vacation. Imagine that. I'm like, vacation from who? You know, it's bad when your boss asks you that question. So, but they went up to Maine, and they were going to spend most of this week up in Maine, and so I hope they have a great time and are able to enjoy it, and the leaves are turning colors and all that. It's all that they hoped that it would be, because when he gets back to work. Yes. All right, so this is the fourth week of our discussion on accountability and our work through this. This will be the last week where we're going to meet as a class on this subject. So after this week, we will not meet at all for the next 3 or 4. We'll pick up again on November 5th. And at that time, we'll be focused on a new topic. So I just want to make us all aware. The idea here is that we've been talking about accountability and about relationships and community, and encouraging you to develop these in a very small accountability group. And so is everybody a part of a group? I know you haven't been here, Scott. Have you been a part? You are part of a group? Okay. Okay. So does everybody else have a group that they're a part of? Okay. All right, well, let's read. If you have a Bible, turn it to James chapter 5. James 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Verse 16, that last verse there. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Is that a suggestion? Is that a good idea? What is that? When you read that, what is God doing there? Anybody? It's a command. He's telling us exactly what to do. Is that what you said, Mary? Yeah, he's telling us exactly what to do. He's giving us a command. And the command is to confess your sins. How are you feeling about that? Anybody willing to share? Come on, I know all you guys are touchy-feely and you want to talk about how you feel about this. Does it make you uncomfortable? You want me to do what? You want me to confess my sins? So what have our friends in the Roman Catholic Church done with this? They've made a confession. And what is it? I mean, has anybody here ever gone to confessional? No, you've seen them on TV, right? They always show up in the movies, right? All right, so it's a little box, a little room, right? And it's dark in there. And there's a little screen, and there's somebody in the next little box beside you that you really can't see through the screen very well. Now, some of the more modern Catholic churches don't do it that way, but this is how the traditional thing is. Well, why do you suppose they set it up that way? So you wouldn't be embarrassed? It's a little easier when you're anonymous, right? What that has done, though, is create this idea that there's only certain people that carry titles that you confess to, right? Is that what this verse says? Who are we supposed to confess to? To each other. Oh. What does that look like? Anybody? Just what do you think that looks like?
Coffee and tears.
Coffee and tears. Probably very accurate. So am I going to, are you going to, you know, call up somebody? Oh, I saw that you were a first-time visitor at church this week. Let me tell you about this sin in my life. Right? No, not so much, right? We're going to do this in a context of a relationship, right? Somebody that we know, somebody that we are considering to be a safe person, right? Somebody that we don't think is going to turn around and share it with anybody and everybody. Yes, anybody, right? And so what is the value? So we're confessing sins. We're confessing to one another. What's the value of doing this? Besides the fact that God commanded it, what do you think is the value of confessing our sins? Praying for each other, all right? And what does the verse say? Healing, right? What is one of the most powerful tools of Satan? Secrets, fear, right? Isolation. How do we break that? Right? By sharing our sins with one another. Not, oh, join me in this sin, but confessing it. And when we do that, we break the power of secrecy. We're not isolated anymore. And we begin to address our fears about it, right? And so there's a whole number of things that happen when we begin to do this, but it is admittedly hard, right? And so what I'd like for us to do is get into your little groups, and we're going to have some discussion. I'm going to read some of these things for purposes of the recording, and then you can get in your groups, and we'll just do them one at a time, and I can prompt you. But let me just read several questions here. In your group, I want you to ask, why do you think so few Christians practice the discipline of confession? Do you think it is more difficult to hear a confession or make one? What is the proper attitude for confessing your sins to one another? What is the proper attitude for hearing confessions from another? All right, we'll stop there. Those are four questions. Get together in your group. Start with the first one and discuss it in your group. Why do you think so few Christians practice the discipline of confession? You guys mostly done? Yeah? All right, share with me some of your answers. What do you guys think are some of the reasons that so few Christians practice the discipline of confession? Yes? Would you like to meet my office later? We can discuss that in more detail. Yeah. Anybody else? What were some of the things that you discussed in your group about why is it that so few people do this? Pride. All right. What else?
Time.
We don't make time. Okay.
Surface relationships instead of authentic.
Okay. Yeah, our lives are full of surface relationships rather than the authentic deep ones where we might be comfortable to do such a thing. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Anything from over here, from you all? Okay, so the tradition of the church is that we hide it.
Fake.
Yeah. Fake? Yes. There are other church traditions that are the opposite of that, but yes, here. Okay? All right, good. Interesting thoughts. Anything else? It's hard to be vulnerable. Yes. How about this one? Maybe this didn't come up in any of your groups. If I bring it up and say something, they might actually make me do something about it. Yeah, there's that too, right? Okay. So what did you think? Was it more difficult to hear a confession or to give a confession? To hear it? Why is that difficult? Okay, so it depends on who it's coming from. Okay, you. Okay, so let me see if I can get that. For purposes of the recording, you're going to feel the burden and carry the burden. It's going to tie you out, and you have to take a nap. Okay, got it. Mary, what were you going to say there? I didn't catch. Okay, so the reaction of thinking about how do I respond instead of really listening is a difficult thing. Okay. Yeah, can be. Yep.
I start.
You're going to fix it. You start assessing.
How do I fix this, or how do we fix it?
How do we fix this?
Instead of just listening.
Okay.
Sometimes you just need to listen.
Sometimes we just need to listen. Right. Okay, that's a skill. That's a skill. Listening is a skill. I am bad about that as well. I also am a fix-it kind of guy, and I always want to do that. All right. What's the proper attitude? Either side, giving or receiving, what's the proper attitude? Humility, all right.
Graciousness.
Non-judgmental.
Love.
Patience. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so did you say gently and not falling into the same trap yourself? Yeah, those are ones that Scripture talks about. That's important, yeah. All right, all those are good attitudes. There is a danger in some of that, though, isn't there? The danger of being so gentle and so loving and non-judgmental that we just say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, and we move right on, right? And we don't really help them to deal with the reality of sin. So this wasn't one of the questions that you talked about, but let's spend just a minute talking about this. When somebody confesses and our initial response is gentle and caring and loving and humility and graciousness and non-judgmental and all those words, what do we do then?
Take it to God.
Yeah, I mean, this verse that we keep coming back to talks about pray for each other, right? Is there anything else? Don't put it on Facebook. Maintain confidentiality, yes. Take them to Scripture. Okay. Was there something else over here I missed? Okay, so there's a fine line where we can't. We got to be careful we're not condoning, giving them permission to continue. Right? Sometimes we can just simply ask, how do you want me to help you in this situation? Give them an opportunity to give us input. Any other thoughts or ideas on that? Well, that was a great response, and I don't know how to summarize it for the recording. So I'm sorry, those of you that are listening to the recording, you're not going to get that one. Call Emily. Yes, call Emily. All right. So there is also the thing of I'm listening, I'm hearing, I need to do that first. But there comes a point when maybe I can help to form a plan to work through and deal with whatever this issue is. Maybe I can help in, hey, well, we're going to ask you again next week or next time we get together about this and see how that's going. I remember a story of, I heard one time about a church, it was not around here, but there was a guy in the church who was a college professor. And he came up to the preacher one Sunday and said, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And said, yeah. And so he said, we've just started our new semester, and there's a girl, and she dresses pretty inappropriately, and she's sitting right down in the front row, and I just need you to ask me every Sunday for a while here if I'm being pure. And so every Sunday for a while, the preacher would shake his hand and say, are you being pure? And he'd say, yes. And you know, then after a while, he said, you don't need to ask because the temptation is no longer there. And so sometimes it can be as simple as something like that as well. All right, back in your groups, and I want you to discuss in your groups this. Did everyone do your reading from the book this week? All right. Oh, it's like, oh, now it's accountability. And if you didn't, what is it that kept you from doing it? And if the thing that kept you from doing it is I didn't have a book, they're right here, and you can come and get your books. All right. What kept you from doing it? And then have a discussion about what are some of the key things that keep you from spending time in prayer, spending time in scripture reading, spending time pursuing your relationship with God. Right, and have that discussion in your groups right now. I'm not going to ask you to share with the whole group later personal things. So just talk in your group about this. Did you do your reading, and what are the things that keep you from pursuing that relationship with God? Got about 5 minutes left. Couple things before we finish out. The idea behind discipleship U is that we develop new skills and that we try things. Maybe they're new to us, maybe they're not, but trying new things. And so the goal this month in doing this has been to see the power of building relationships where you begin to get a little deeper than just the surface stuff, talking about just everyday kind of things, and begin having an opportunity to do exactly that. And what we're hoping and asking is that you would continue in these groups. We would like to see these small accountability groups kind of continue as we work through. We're going to be month on, month off, but we'd love to see these groups continue even on the off months and on through. Now, I understand sometimes things change and all that kind of stuff, but towards that end, we have an assignment that we would like for your group to consider, and that is simply this: to figure out a time when you as a group can get together and serve someone in the next month. Get together and serve someone. It doesn't have to be something huge. You know, you don't have to go to Houston for 2 weeks and muck out houses, all right? It can be something small, but just find one time in the next month you as a group can get together and find some way to serve someone, whatever that might be. You know, it could be simple as writing notes to people, doing something for them. We're coming into fall. That's great. Always the leaf-raking opportunity is always there, right? That one's a big one. But find something that you can do. And I want to encourage you as well. This is not an assignment, but I want to encourage you as well in those groups. You know, set up, can you keep in touch with each other? Maybe it's not an actual meeting, but we're going to text each other on Wednesdays or something, and just try and build that so that you can keep those relationships going. Now, when we meet again in November, we will have a different topic we'll be focused on, but we want to keep these groups, and we'll still break into these groups to do things and talk and have discussions and stuff like that when we have the class then. All right, do you guys have any questions about this? Does it make sense? All right. Take a few minutes and work out when can you get together to serve someone and commit to doing that by the end of the month.